You could open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. So we'll be continuing our study of the Old Testament, just looking at just a 30,000 foot view, you know, just at a high level. What is this book all about? Handed out those binders last year. I encourage you to bring them. We're going to go through those, or you can just keep them. If anybody needs like the sheet or a binder or something, let me know. I can print those out again. I'll print out one for Joshua next week, and then going forward. Looks like we're going to go through 2 Kings, I think it was, I counted out. So I'm excited about that. I was working on one of them yesterday, 1 Samuel. So working on 1 Samuel yesterday afternoon. But even next week, even Joshua and Judges, it's just amazing to see God's hand and how he works through these books. So, But with the book of Deuteronomy. But just as a review, let's remember our little timeline that we did, you know, 6,000 years of history, but in the Old Testament, it's kind of, you know, like, you know, 4,000 years. So back here at 4,000 BC, you know, who do we have over here? This is milestones. Just we can think of these big rocks and you kind of fill in the blanks. So who's back here at 4,000 BC? Anybody remember? Adam. Okay. And then at 3,000 BC, Noah. So you got Adam and they got Noah. And then at 2000 BC, it was, what did I have? Abraham. You had Adam, Adam, Noah, Abraham, and then at 1000 BC, David. Remember, we had David. About 1,000 years before Christ, we had David, and then Christ. And then Christ at, you know, right at the turn, and then about 2,000 years. 2,000 years of, you know, since Christ has been born. So, but really, about 1,000 years in the Old Testament, right from about, you know, 1450 BC to about 450 BC, that's, you know, just about 1,000 years. That's the chunk, that's the majority of your Old Testament, those 1,000 years. And we'll be mostly in that period of time. But Deuteronomy, it's quoted more times in our Bible than probably any other book. It's such an easy read. It's a good read. It's quoted so often, about 450 times in your Bible, the book of Deuteronomy is referenced. The Hebrew name for the book of Deuteronomy is Devarim, which basically, if you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 1, means these are the words. These are the words. That's Devarim, what that means. But the kind of like the Greek word Deuteronomy, I remember this is one of those things seared in my brain that Pastor Huber would say, you know, like it's the second giving of the law, you know, like duet and Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. But that's God's not giving the law the second time. This is Moses kind of reiterating the law to these people a second time. So it's like the second law. So if we remember, you know, Israel, they escaped I didn't really do this last time with a PowerPoint, so I don't know if this is going to be more of a help or more of a distraction, but I know some people are visual learners, but I have to remember to do this, and if I don't, it doesn't help anybody, I'll try to remember. Does this help? Some people like to see and read, and I know some people are, so if this doesn't help you, or if this is more of a distraction, let me know, so I don't have to waste anybody's time. So I try to do a little something here for it. So so Israel escaped from Egypt. Remember, they came out of the land. They crossed the Red Sea, and then that whole thing with Pharaoh, and it destroyed the Pharaoh's army. And then they came to Sinai. And really, the distance from Sinai up to Kadesh Barnea, you know how long that it takes to get from there? I remember we covered this before. Anybody remember? 11 days. 11 days to get from Sinai up to Kadesh Barnea. And how long did it take them? 40 years. That's one big flat tire. That's one big detour that they were on. So why? Because they surveyed the land. Remember, you know, the 10 were bad and 2 were good. And the report came back and, well, we can't do that. The 10 spies, we can't do that. But then there was the 2 that said, you know, remember, it was Joshua and Caleb, hey, let's go in. The Lord's given it to us. Sure, there's some giants there, but you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And really, that's where that comes from, their report there. So, but they were doomed for really 38 and about half years of wandering. So for a total of 40 years spent in the wilderness. So just as a review, Genesis, remember it was a selection of a nation, really from Genesis 12 to Genesis 50. God is dealing with the family. God's dealing with Abraham, the family of Israel, dealing with them and just selecting them out. In Exodus, the redemption of the nation. You know, the famine came and they came down into Egypt and then they prospered and they dwelt and they grew. And then Pharaoh's like, oh my, what's going on here? And then took over them and enslaved them for like almost 400 years. Well, we got into that a little bit last time. In Exodus, more like 280 years, but they were enslaved. They were building, or were they building for Pharaoh? The Bible says treasured cities they were building for him. Did they build the pyramids? Maybe. They were there. They had the slave labor to do it. But according to the Bible, we see just treasured cities that were mentioned. I saw something about the pyramids recently. Anybody been over there to see the pyramids or anything? So those are massive. Those things are huge. I don't know. And it's like you look around like, where'd all this rock come from? It's just sand everywhere. So amazing. So the selection of a nation in Genesis, the redemption of the nation in Exodus, and then Leviticus, the sanctification of a nation. Hey, we need you to act a little different. God lays out some particular laws for his people. I got some particular ways of eating. Hey, let's be careful with these things. Let's be different in what we do. And then Numbers, remember the correction of a nation, where the spies went in and the people said, nope, we can't do it. And they sided with the ten. So they had to be corrected. God had to show himself to them every day for the next, you know, basically 40 years, correcting them. And still, all within there, what are they doing? Murmuring, complaining, you know. But what is God doing? He's feeding them almost every single day, except for the Sabbath, feeding them with manna every day. So taking care of them. And now in Deuteronomy is the instruction of a nation. So it's basically the second generation that has survived through this time. Just think about those people that are who Moses is speaking to. You know, most of them have died off. The people that came up out of Egypt, you know, most of these ones have been born in the wilderness, in this wandering time. So they need to be given the law again. And it's time to go in, time to go into the land, but Moses can't go in. Remember, he made that mistake. He struck the rock instead of speaking to it that second time. So he's speaking to the second generation. So it's really more of a sermon that Moses is giving to these people. He's like persuading, he's warning, he's encouraging, he's leading them, he's guiding them. Like, hey, this is what you're going to experience. This is what you're going to go through, and trying to help them. And it's really laid out in three sermons. So just these three, if you can kind of divide up. This is a real high-level outline for the book. So chapters 1 through 4, hey, here's what God did. Here's what God did in the past, and to remind them of that. You know, sometimes it's good, just in our lives, just to take a look back and say, hey, look at everything I've been through, and thank you, Lord, for getting me through everything you did. Because that can help where I am, make decisions for where I am right now, and for the future. Like, all right. You took care of me there. You took care of me through that situation. I didn't know what to do here, but I sought you, and look how you carried me through. You can take care of me now. You can take care of me through then. So a good thing for them to do. And then chapters 5 through 26, you know, here's what God expects. It's kind of a practical application of the law. That's where he kind of lays that out for these people. You know, how to interact with the other nations that are around, how to interact with each other, all of these things. And then 27 through 34, hey, here's what God is going to do. Here's what God's going to do. A look forward to what he's promised them. And they get to a place, they get to Shechem. And they get there and they go on the two mountains on either side. And they say the blessings and the cursings to each other. They just reiterate that promise that God had given them, reminding them of what's coming. Hey, if we obey God, he's going to bless us. If we disobey God, we're going to bring a curse upon ourselves. So let's obey God. So it's kind of, when you think about Moses, you know, he's about 120 here. He's up there, and he's about to die. Okay, and it's kind of like what you would say to your family. You know, if you're about to die, and let's say they come and visit you in a, you know, around your bedside, and say, "Hey, hey, look what God has done in our lives. You look at all, you know, all these places. Remember when we used to live over there? Remember that hard time we had over here, and how God can bring you through them." And just the encouragement that he would try to give to them. Hey, live for God. Live for God. Don't make the mistakes that I made. You know, Moses gives some testimony of himself with the rock. Hey, I blew it. I made a mistake. Don't be like me and make mistakes. And I just think, if I'm in this place someday, and you know, my family's around and I'm will be passing soon, what I would say to them, hey, don't make the mistakes I made. You know, don't, you know, follow the Lord in your life. You know, one thing I would say is don't get into debt. You know, that's one of my, try to stay out of debt. That's a hook that will drag you down and just keep you in slavery for way too long. But God really wants to bless your life. Follow him, give your life to him, live for him. Don't blow it. Don't make some silly mistake that you'll regret later. Choose life. So there's about 40 New Testament references to Moses being the author. So I'm going to go through, let's see, who, when, where, and why. So who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy. And there's about 40 New Testament references just quoting Moses. And you know, one of the easy ones is, you know who said Moses is the author of Deuteronomy? Jesus. And if we have time, we'll look at a couple of those. But just, and that's the danger. If you just go out and you do, you know, Google something, and you'll find some modern, you know, scholar, and he'll want to say something that maybe nobody else has ever said. Just a, you know, that eye-catching little thing. But let's not get, Google, it can help with a lot of things, but there's also a lot of false out there. People just write and try to get your attention or get, you know, clickbait or whatever it is. Just be careful, okay? Be careful what's out there. Study your Bible. Just read your Bible and you'll see it. So it was written just before they went into the land. You know, they're just days away from entering, from crossing over the Jordan River, from entering into the Promised Land. They're just days away from going in. And Moses knows his death is near. He knows they're about to go in, and he knows he can't go in. So, hey, my days must be just about over. Let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse number 1. Read just the first couple of verses. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dezahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. It's almost like he's reminding them, hey, you know, this only should have taken 11 days. 11 days. And 38 and a half years they wandered. So, really? Was that necessary? But 11 days it could have been. But, hey, let's not make that mistake again. Let's follow the Lord. Let's trust in him. So, who wrote the book? Moses. Moses wrote the book. Now, when? When did he write it? And this is, I love how the Bible just defines itself, and it makes it so clear. So, in verse number 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, so that's the 40th year of their wandering, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. So when is he starting this? When is he speaking this? In the first day of the 11th month. That's when it starts. So let's just say that's like November 1st, okay? It's not ours, but let's put it in terms of us. Now, hold your place here and turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. So this is right when they enter the Promised Land, and we'll kind of get a snapshot of the time right before they enter, and now this is just after when they've entered. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. So when are they in Gilgal? On the first day of the 10th month. And what did we see in Deuteronomy? On the first day of the 11th month. So about 70 days. About 70 days is the duration of Moses teaching Deuteronomy to the people. 70 days, not that long, about 2 months. Probably even a little bit less than that, a little less than, but those are the two snapshots of time that we see. 70 days, not a long time, not really, not a long time. I heard, and you think about how much time Moses has spent with these people. 40 years in wandering in the wilderness for them. Now he's going to be gone, and then that's going to be it. I heard a pastor who resigned his church, and then he was going to go to another church. And he had been with that church for 20 years, and he was going to stay on as kind of a transition. And it was about 3 month transition he was going to have, and he like mapped it out. He's like, I'm only going to speak to these people, you know, a few times. You know, it's not every day. You know, it's maybe 3 times a week. And he had every single sermon, every single date, and then he had everything he was going to say over the next 3 months. He's like, I don't have a lot of time left with these people. I got to be careful and give them everything that I can, and be every word, every minute I have to be careful with. And you think about Moses, and just, this is it. I just have this period of time, and then I'm done. And then they're going to be handed off to the next one. So, who? Moses wrote the book. When? Just before they entered into the land, about 70 days. So where? You know, where are they when this is being written? They're on the plains of Moab. I think I did a map for the next one. Yeah, I'm sorry that's, I can't get it that way. Let me come up and, all right. So here's Egypt over here. Here's the Red Sea. Here's the Nile, Mediterranean Sea. Where's Grandpa Hayden? How's he doing? I keep praying for him? Okay. All right, keep praying for him. Because he's been in the Mediterranean Sea. He's told me a few times. So pretty good waves in there. So they came out of Egypt. They crossed over the Red Sea. Here's Mount Sinai down here. And they should have come up this way, right into the Promised Land. But what did they do? They came and wandered and came through. You know, here's Edom. Here's Moab, Ammon over here. So they're right about over here, ready to enter into the land. So they're on here's the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Dead Sea. I'll try to have a better map next week. I'm sorry, this is a little bit too much. I just wanted to show the Promised Land, but it shows you kind of their whole wandering. So they're right over here on this side, just on the east side of the Jordan River, ready to head into the Promised Land. Okay, they're on the plains of Moab. So, and why? Why? And I kind of already mentioned this a little bit, but just he wants a new generation of people to be fully equipped, just to be ready for everything that they're going to experience, everything they're going to go through. And he really wants them to get it. He wants them to understand, hey, this isn't just a joke, okay? Let's take this seriously. You got God on your side to help you through this. You're going to face some challenges up ahead. There's some people in there that aren't friendly at all. They don't want to see you. They want you taking over their land. They're living there. They have houses. They have everything that they do, and you're going to be coming in. But that's land that I promised you. That's your land. Man, just think about, we had the graduation, you know, last week, and think about these five that were here that graduated, and what's ahead of them. You know, I think, everybody in here, we could say something to those graduates. Hey, if I graduated, and the next day, in the next 3 months, the next year after I graduated, anybody, I would have done something a little bit different, you know? I think I would have been more careful about this. I would have never have done that. I certainly would have done this, and all of those things. So Moses is, hey, listen up. I want you to be prepared for what you're going through. Just kind of, everybody see that, like kind of a heart of a grandfather, you know, to these people. Hey, I want to help you. I want to help you. And really, when you think about, let's just say the age contrast between Moses and everybody else. I mean, there's Moses, and then there's probably Caleb, and then Joshua, and then a bunch of, 40 years or younger people. And, and Moses is 120. I mean, he stands out like, a sort of cotton swab, with all these people, So, look at our map. So, just some words that really pop out in the book, like the number of times that these words appear, like the word here, and especially turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Wanted to talk about this real quick. There's a study I heard about parenting. And the parenting comes to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starts about, let's read in verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And it goes on for a bit. We'll just stop there. This passage is called the Shema. Shema. For every Jewish person, this is the first passage of Scripture that they memorize. They memorize. And really, they pray this prayer every day. There's even outside of their, and I have a Jewish friend at work, and his kids in their hallway, he's an atheist, but his kids, his in-laws took his kids to, synagogue and all that. So, but he doesn't have anything to do with it, but he's like, all right, go ahead if you want to go. Outside of their bedroom doors, they have, I can't think of what it's called now, this small, it's about this big. Let's see if I can borrow one and bring one in. But inside of there's some scripture in Hebrew, and it's this passage. It's hanging outside, and this would be, they're everywhere. And do you remember seeing that at all, Mr. Stephen? Maybe even in the hotel rooms over in Israel? But they're everywhere. But this is the passage that they, every day, they pray this prayer. And there's some Jews who take it, almost to the extreme, where it says, thou shalt, bind them upon thine hand, or the frontlets, where they actually take that scripture, and they have a little box on their forehead, and this scripture is in that box. Very, very literal translation of that. But just in here, just the words do, came up so many times just here. In this passage, but the word do. Hey, Moses wants them to be careful about some things. Hey, do these things. Listen, hear. Hear, do, keep, observe. They're all things, that we're being careful about. They're all verbs in that extent. And then I like the word, love. That love appears 16 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Sometimes we think the Old Testament, it's kind of harsh and crude and rough, and if somebody steals, you chop off their hand and all of that. But and there's not so much grace and love, but there's love all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout this time, just showing as a precursor the love of Christ to these people, and just the kindness and his caring, and just wants to help these people. Let's see, but God has always been a God of love, so. So that's the the who, when, where, and why. So let's look back at the three sermons. So let's see. Okay, so sermon number one. Just mentioned a few things and didn't want to have too much on here. I can't stand when somebody puts stuff up on the board and then they just read you the board. So I'm like, I can read the board. So just a few highlights and just go through these couple things. I know it's three sermons. We got about 25 minutes left, but we're just reviewing them. We're not going through three sermons. Just reviewing them. So it's chapters 1 through 4, sermon number one. It's a look back. It's a look back at everything they've done. Think about your life and all the experiences that you've had with God. how God led them. How God led them. Because a lot of these people, like I said, they weren't in slavery in Egypt. They didn't know about that. They didn't have to deal with that. But they saw how God provided for them in the wilderness every single day. Every single day provided for them and everything that they went through, and how how God took care of them. Even though they had sometimes just a terrible attitude about themselves. I've ever been around somebody just bitter and nasty and complaining. Oh, you want to help that person? Ooh, oh man, but the Lord was, but thankfully, you know, sometimes God was kind of cross at the people, and sometimes Moses was a bit upset at them. Thankfully, those two didn't happen at the same time. You know, they're sort of, you know, move over, Moses, I'm going to take out these people. No, no, Lord, don't do that. And then Moses is like, all right, let's get them, Lord. God can't take it anymore. They're just, all they do is complain. Boy, some people just love complaining. But, and I'm telling you, it is so easy to be pessimistic. It is so easy to find a fault with something. Boy, it's, and if you find yourself getting into that routine, you know, try to catch yourself, because it's so, and it's such an easy slope down to just to be negative. It's hard to be positive about stuff. And hey, all right, here's a challenge. Let's make this an opportunity. Let's push through it. So, So how God had led them, and he reminded them of the discipline God had imposed on the first generation. Hey, don't have the lack of faith that that your parents had. Don't have that. Never forget how God led you. don't forget to treat how you treat others around you. You know, they're going to be coming into the land, and there's some going to be some other people there. You know, we'll see that a lot next week when we get into Joshua, and it's really interesting how they come into the land, and it's not quite how. If I was leading, that's not quite how I would have done it, but God had a perfect plan for them, and if only they would have followed it, the book of Judges could have been a whole lot easier and better, and with less problems. So don't forget to treat those around you the right way. And really, Moses gives his own testimony. He gives his own testimony. He's like, hey, don't make the same mistake I did. Boy, I got upset. You guys got me. Guys got me really upset that one time, and I took that rock, that staff, and I hit that rock, and I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. With all these trials that came through and around us, and I made a mistake, and I shouldn't have done that. And really, hold your place here, but turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because Paul kind of reiterates this same illustration of Moses and the mistake that he made. Let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it starts off in verse, I'll just read the first couple. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. I love in the New Testament, especially like Stephen, you know, when he gets up and preaches to the Sanhedrin, and just him reiterating all this history from the Old Testament. Well, here's one time where Paul kind of does it. Verse number 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, he goes through all of these things that they went through, but let's jump down to verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Hey, there's a great practical application. Hey, just look at the children of Israel and how they wandered, and in verse number 11, and all of that was for in samples. Those were in samples for us that are written for our admonition. Hey, so verse number 11, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think you're okay? You think none of that can happen to me? Hey, be careful. Take heed. Remember those things that were done, that happened to all Israel while they were wandering, lest ye fall. So be very careful. So it's kind of nice that Paul gives the exact same illustration here in 1 Corinthians 10 as really Moses is reiterating through chapters 1 through 4 of Deuteronomy. If you want to jump back to Deuteronomy. let's see. So sermon number one, it's a look back. Oh, because you think about it, I wanted to mention this. That first generation, they've all died off. They've all died off. And there's no more of that, let's say, oral history of, let me tell you what it was like back in Egypt and everything we had to go through and all the, you know, what we were given for food, what we were given for work, how hot it was. It was disaster, dead bodies everywhere, all along the streets. We didn't even have time to bury. It was terrible. There's nobody else to talk about that. And it makes me think of nowadays. You know, we're losing our World War II vets. You think about somebody who was born after D-Day, after June 19, or I'm sorry, who joined the war effort after D-Day, late 1945, maybe an 18-year-old boy, a young man or even young woman. They must have been born like in 1926 or 1927. So how old would they be today? You know, they're in their upper mid-90s. And there's not too many of them left. There's no World War I veterans left. Now they're all gone. You can't talk to any of them. That's all past. So you have an opportunity to speak to a World War II veteran and just talk to them and say, hey, sometimes they don't like talking. They don't want to take anything. I didn't do anything. But if they're willing to, listen to them. I had the opportunity to talk to a few. I remember Mr. Higgins. Remember Mr. Higgins? I liked him. The first time I saw him or met him, I don't know how old he was, but a spark. Boy, that guy was on, and he talked to me for a little bit and told me a few things, a few stories. It was funny, when I got to go to Germany for work many years ago, I went to the same village that he was in at one point. It looked very different when I was there, but still, just to be in the same place. And here's a young man who said, hey, I didn't ask him if he joined up or if he was drafted. It doesn't matter. He served with honor his country, and I'm so thankful. And for those of you who have served, I know a few in here have served, and I thank you for your service. We wouldn't be speaking English today if it wasn't for some of these men and for some of you who have given some of your life to help protect our freedom. So thank you for that. So if you have an opportunity to speak to a veteran, I like to try to shake their hand, say, hey, thank you for your service. You're in the airport, you're anywhere. And I was traveling one time, and there was a guy I was with, and we saw a veteran, and I was wondering what he was going to do. And he did it before I did. Hey, thank you for your service. And I'm like, all right. I like this guy even more. It was a new coworker. So, because that passes before you know it. I mean, it's 2022? My. It is going by too quickly. So the first sermon, a look back. Sermon number two, what God expects. What God expects. It's an application of how to live out the law of God. So all these things can be laid out. Don't steal, don't murder, honor the Sabbath, honor your parents, all of these things. Yes, I understand that. But in the practical application of how to do these things in my practical everyday life, Moses kind of gets into some of that in these middle chapters. Moses explains the necessity of destroying all the Canaanites' places of worship. And they have all these false idols in these temples. You need to get rid of all of that. You need to get rid of that. Don't let anything get between you and God. Don't let any of that stay. Get rid of all of it. Because it's so easy to let those stay and then like, hey, what's this all about? What's this rain god that you guys have been praying to? And how does that work? Yeah, we did. We offer a sacrifice and then somehow it rains. I think that's somewhat to do on timing when that happens. But hey, there's this other thing. You rub this on you and you feel better. It gets rid of this headache or just all of these old things that they would worship. And don't let anything get between you and your God. Don't let the world's priorities become your priorities. Because you can do that. Let's say you're totally, you're one that's following God with all of your heart, and then you get a little bit discouraged. You think about times of, let's just say, Ruth, and was it Elkanah, okay, right? Was that the father? I am a little, okay. So many names in my head right now. And he's got to provide for his family. And hey, there's a famine everywhere. I can't give anything to my family. But hey, I heard about this rain god thing. Let me go try that. It won't hurt anything. Let me just dabble in that and see if anything happens. Is it going to hurt anything? Nobody's going to know. It doesn't even cost me hardly anything. But don't let anything. You give a little bit of room to that. You just plant that seed just a little bit, and who knows where that can go. And it's some crazy things that people do. And you just drive and see people's bumper stickers and the things that people say and what they're into. Don't let any of that get between you and God. and worship God from a centralized location. Hey, we need to have a centralized location where people come and worship. Don't be doing the home church thing everywhere. Don't be, well, you know, bringing people into your house and let's try something new. You need to worship in a central location. And don't do the same pagan practices that the folks are doing. Stay away from that. Don't profane God's name in the way you eat. You know, in the book of Leviticus, you know, they name a number of things. You know, this is what you can eat and this is what you can't eat. And, you know, we understand that we're not under the law nowadays. And, you know, I can go out and I can have a bacon cheeseburger and I can have a milkshake and bless God and it'll taste great. You know, depends where I go. And some days it'll taste better, you know. And it's funny because my kids are still, Wendy's is awesome. They're in that stage, which helps because it's cheaper, right? Especially nowadays. You can all empathize with that. But yeah, that's the greatest restaurant. Wendy's is the greatest restaurant on earth. And Julie asked me, what's your favorite restaurant? I'm like, you've never been. It closed, actually. The Village Inn. Remember Tillman's Village Inn that closed down? So I was trying to encourage the Sutliffs to buy it, but they did not have anything to do with it. But I was talking to Mr. Nepperell last week. They went to Red Osier, and he's telling me about the steaks that they got. And I would always get the Delmonico at Village Inn. Boy, I missed that, you know. But just... Where am I? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm like, why am I talking about this? But just in the dietary law that they had, you know. But hey, let's just be careful with that because God laid out those things, those rules for a purpose. And sure, we're not under that now, but let's be careful in what we eat. Let's be careful in what we take into our body because God still has an overall purpose, okay? You need to be set apart. You need to be different, you know. I just... Anybody else do the drive-thru yesterday? Anybody else do that? That was really good. That was really good. And it's like, let's get two. I'm like, well, it's a fundraiser. You know, you got to get more than two. I'm trying to help out, you know, the kids. And so we got four, okay? We didn't eat all four for lunch. We had three for lunch. And about, you know, it was about 1 o'clock or so. And then those desserts, man. Like, I didn't need those, but that brownie with the Reese's in it, that was really good. And then the marshmallows, the toasted marshmallows on top of the brownie, again, awesome. But we didn't do much yesterday afternoon. You know, I kept the couch warm and dust-free, you know, for a while. And like, that's not helping anything, you know. I'm not productive in anyway, as 7 o'clock rolls around, like, who's hungry? Not much of anybody, but yet, you know, so there's a little bit left away from the fourth. So, but those were really good. Thanks for Mrs. Seatman, and she did those rolls. Man, I could eat. The girls would have just eaten those, like, no. Nah. But anyways, God laid out those things, and for a purpose. Hey, let's be careful what we put into our bodies. Let's be careful, because... I was not a very productive member of society yesterday at all. Anyways, and don't forget the three main feasts. Don't forget the three main feasts. Don't forget there's the Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. And remember that the Passover, that's where let's revisit how God saved you. Back in Egypt, how that Passover lamb came over and passed over you and how he saved you from them. Let's remember that. Be careful to come together and worship and honor me through that every year. And then Pentecost, the fact that he gave us the law. About 50 days after the Passover, they celebrated Pentecost. Let's remember the law that God gave us. And then Tabernacles. That was a little bit later in the year, but let's remember how God took care of us in the wilderness. All that time that we spent there, all those years, just wandering in the desert, basically, and God provided for us. You know, whew. Every day, he took care of us. Let's remember that. Let's remember how God saved us, remember the law that he gave us, and let's remember how he protected us in the wilderness those many years. And then honor the covenant itself. Honor the covenant itself. And how do you do that? By giving the tithe. By giving the tithe. That's how you honor the covenant. And it's honoring God with everything that you are and honor God with everything that you do. You think about back then, it's quite a bit easier for us to do that today, because you think about a farmer back then. You know, if he's, if he's growing corn, you know, 10% of his harvest he brings in, and gives that to the priests. You know, I'm so glad I can just, write a check and drop it. I don't have to move stuff. I don't have to get, oxen and cattle and load up wagons and bring that in. Think about all the effort that took, and bringing animals in and whatnot. It's really so easy for us. Let's make sure we're faithful with that. Giving of the tithe, honoring the covenant itself. And really, you can just see Moses' heart through all of this. Don't forget about God. Don't forget about God. We need to honor and follow God. Honor and follow Him every day. With everything that we do, honor and follow Him. So, sermon number one. Oh, I didn't go to sermon. See? I'm not helping you at all. So here's sermon number two. Sermon number one was a look back. Sermon number two, what God expects. And sermon number three, a look forward, really. Some decisions, some things going forward. Let's be careful what's going to happen. So Moses wants them to make a decision. Make a decision. Let's get in, get all in with God. Get all in with Him. When you get there, he wants them to head straight for Shechem. Straight for Shechem. And we'll see this next week a little bit. But Shechem is a place where Abraham stopped. Remember when God called Abraham out of Ur, and he traveled over and he came down. He came to the place of Shechem, and that's where God blessed him. Shechem, there's like kind of two mountains. They're small, but kind of like hills on either side. One is Mount Ebal on the north side, and Mount Gerizim on the south side. And he says, when you get there, have six of the tribes go to Mount Ebal, and six of the tribes go on Mount Gerizim. So you got half the people over here, half the people over there, and these people over here on Mount Ebal. Wait a minute, let me make sure I get this right. The north side, they declare the curses. I wish it was the south side that declared the curses. Mrs. Frediani's not here. No southern people. But so the people on the north side are declaring the curses. Hey, if we don't do this, God's going to do this. And these people over here on Mount Gerizim, what do they say? When the curse is read, they say, amen. Amen, amen, amen. And then when it's their turn, they say the blessings of God. The people on Mount Gerizim, all, hey, if we do this, God is going to bless us. And when they say that for each one, then the people over here on Mount Ebal say amen. So it's just, and it's, there's kind of a valley. It's almost like a natural amphitheater. And especially if you have, let's say a couple million people, speaking this out. I don't know if you could hear anything, think about a couple million people speaking in unison. I don't know how that works, but through God's divine wisdom, that can maybe happen. But they're speaking them, and they say amen, and they speak the blessings, and they say amen. The whole nation is involved in this. Hey, this is, God wants us to do these things and not these things. And he'll bless us if we obey him, and he'll curse us if we disobey him. And they basically ratify the whole covenant, the whole Abrahamic covenant. And that's in Joshua chapters 8, 32 through 35. We'll look at that, get into that a bit next week. And then Moses sings a song. I don't know if he actually sang the song, but there's the song of Moses, and Moses blesses the people. And then God gives Moses, information about his own death, there's maybe some controversy on, did Moses write the entire book of Deuteronomy? If he did, then he wrote his own death, at the end. And, he didn't write where he was buried. It was either him or Joshua. I tend to believe it was Moses that wrote it. But then he introduces their new leader, their new leader, who's going to take over for them. And we'll get into that next week with Joshua. But it kind of reminds me of somebody who says, hey, I'm leaving, but I don't want to leave you leaderless. I don't want to leave you alone. So I'm going to leave you with somebody, and you'll see greater things than what you saw with me. Really, it's a great reminder of Jesus. Jesus, how when Jesus is leaving, he says, hey, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to leave you with the Comforter that's going to help you and help you see things greater than even I have showed you. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. There's a very important passage here, a very famous verse, Deuteronomy 18, verse number 15. Okay, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto whom ye shall hearken. So it's unto, the prophet that God is going to raise up from the Israelites to deliver them. And let's go over to John chapter 1. Because the Jews had, they were looking for three different people. They were looking for this prophet that was just mentioned here. They were looking for the messenger. And then they were looking for the Messiah. They didn't realize that the Messiah and the prophet were the same person. And we can kind of see that here in John chapter 1 and verse number 19. Remember they come to John the Baptist and they're asking him? John chapter 1, verse number 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer unto them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" So they're like, are you that prophet? Are you the Messiah? Are you Christ? So he was basically that messenger, that forerunner of Jesus Christ. But they thought the Messiah and the prophet were two different people, but they're the same person. Let's see. Let's go over to Acts chapter 3. Just look at a couple things real quick. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 20. Peter's preaching here. Let's see. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse number 22. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whomsoever he shall say unto you." So he's speaking of this prophet that he's going to raise up unto them. And who is that prophet? Well, let's look at verse number 20. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly," and so it's here, Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophet, that Deuteronomy 18, chapter 15. Let's see. And I just wanted to, he's still going in there. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Just one more, last one. Did I forget to? Oh, that was just the map again. Okay. Matthew chapter 4. Just some other times where the book of Deuteronomy is quoted by Jesus and in our New Testament. Here's a great one. Matthew chapter 4. Everybody know what's going on here? This is Jesus being tempted of the devil. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. "And he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And that's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. And again in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And that, and then in verse number 10, Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Those two are quotations from what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, part of the Shema that the Jewish people would memorize, chapter 6, verse 16, and 6, verse 13. So just quoting Deuteronomy. Jesus here is quoting Moses, quoting him. So just some great examples of, Moses is the author and how God used him, and just Jesus being that prophet. That prophet and the Messiah that's going to come and rule and reign someday. He didn't quite come as they expected, but next time will be a little bit different. So that's kind of basically the high-level look of Deuteronomy. I just wanted to say, so this red line is kind of, they're wandering, and so they're right here. Right here on the plains of Moab, ready to cross over the Jordan River, ready to head into Jericho, basically the city of palms, the oldest city in the world, ready to head into there. And we'll get into that next week with Joshua, and then see how the different battle campaigns that they do. There's kind of a southern campaign, a northern campaign, and then a campaign in the middle, and how he attacks the land and tries to get everything cleaned out and set for them. But unfortunately, they don't kill everybody. They don't wipe the land of all the inhabitants. So, all right, well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be better students of your word. Help us to read and study and grow in your word. Lord, thank you for all the examples, Lord, that you have for us. And just Moses just caring so much for the people and wanting to help them before he passes. But Lord, help us to spend some time in your word this week, just studying it and getting what you have for us for the needs that we have in our everyday life. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for caring for us so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.